call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. Please set your phones on sun and let's stand up for the
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Will you call a roll, please?
Tom Lipinski.
Here.
Tom Gostek.
Here.
Anthony Broadnick.
Here.
Sarah Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert
Overby.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker. Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from July 17th, 2024. Any changes, modifications, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from July 17th, 2024.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Lipinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostek.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Oche?
Yes.
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. They're out there forever now. Next up is the chairman's report. Thanks for everybody coming out. Again, we're here to make sure what is depicted on those now green pictures from September 2008 doesn't happen again. However, this $275 million man-made flood control project is managing Mother Nature. And at some point, we're going to get 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket. And there's going to be an issue. However, we're far better prepared today than we were prior to September 2008 to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. That's the reason that we sit up here. That's the reason we go through all the things. That's the reason that we have money to be able to do the things that we're doing to make sure something like that doesn't happen to the community. This is, in fact, an economic development deal by us doing the things that we're supposed to do to maintain this $275 million federal flood control project. There's people that do not have to pay mandatory flood insurance as a part of their mortgage. It's close to $4 million a year that goes back into the community every year. That's a win, in my opinion, that happens every year. It's important that we not lose sight of that history as we keep moving forward and have new issues come up. But without that kind of history, you don't understand the things that had to happen to our community to make sure that we're in the position that we are today. Moving right along, next up is the approval of claims for August 2024.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and accept the claims of $865,085.02.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion?
Sure, Mr. Chair. I noticed a discrepancy in one of the invoices. I'd like to make a motion to amend Austin Equipment invoice number 2, changing the amount due from $313,840. The $266,764, reducing the total claims amount to $818,009.02.
I'll second that.
So there's a motion and a second. Mr. Ipe.
We can go over the claims as amended now at this point. We could always start with the Austin one that has been amended. That is for the bank stabilization work. I would guess there would be about 80-85% complete from Fran Lynn to Main Street. We did, if you noticed in the claim, we did have some field changes that were made to secure the stabilization with existing walls that were already there that were built prior to us going through there. So we made those changes. Really, the last part for them is to plant the trees and bushes and other woody vegetation that was a part of our plan overall, but then this segment then will be complete. And then they are working on designing the next two phases, which will put us almost at Independence Park. So from Franlin working north almost to Independence Park. We'll go to the next highest one, which is for Passion for the Katie Marsh screen raker. That's for $254,728.21. That is the final payment to Passion for the screen raker. It was approved accepted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers during their most recent inspection. That was this July 26th. So everything was working as functioning as designed, and so that is their payment. And we close out that project, thankfully, something that I believe I started with in 2010, that this rake never worked properly during rain events. And so now it has, and it will, hopefully, with the backup generator and the cooperation from the town of Griffith. Town of NCAP for $28,400, that was their maintenance and of the mitigation site off of Chase Street and Black Oak. That happens just to take care of the invasive species, that we have to manage that to make sure that it doesn't go bad in the time that the Corps turned it over to us. U.S. Geological Survey, $29,106 for our quarterly payment for the gauges. We have 16 of them that we partner with them on. That there's an agreement later on in this agenda for that amount. And then Wiltshire Excavating for $42,500. I actually have, if I can, you know what, I didn't do it, but I will do it as part of my report. I will log into this meeting so I can share my screen and show you the pictures sort of that help tell the story. There was, yeah, and I'm going to try to do it as best I can, but there is an old railroad bridge that is located just south of Liverpool, and it hasn't been cleaned. There are approximately four spans that cross that river at that juncture. Only one was completely open after we did the work, which was previous week into this week. All spans are now completely open, and all the trees have been removed and the tires. And that would then complete all of our work from Lake George Dam all the way down to Liverpool at 27th. That has been complete. And I know a couple of you know this, but most of the residents that live along the way said that that has never been cleared from woody vegetation or blockages. For as long as they've lived there, most people have lived there 20, 30 years. So it took us about 4 years to get to this point from Hobart all the way down. But it's quite a stretch. And at this point, the question then becomes, do we keep going down Burns Ditch all the way, you know, into Porter County? So that's a question that we're going to have to deal with. It depends on what the weather looks like to see if we want to go further. But as far as our goal starting out with this, we always wanted to reach that dip, reach the rock ripple or the old dam, and we've done that now. As of, I think Monday was the last day. So as a part of my report, I will log in, and I didn't, but I will, and that way I can share the information or share the pictures. But if you have any questions else on the invoices, I'd be happy to answer it, and then before I get to my report.
All right, is there any other questions on the invoices? We have an amended motion. Any other discussion?
Yeah, you vote on the amendment first.
So we have to vote on the amendment, and then we have to vote on the initial.
Then you vote on the invoice, on the amended claims as amended.
Okay, so let's take the vote on the amendment, please.
Tom Schinske?
Yes.
Tom Benedetti?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Next up, then, we have to do a motion or vote on the motion for the new total amount of invoices for August 2024. Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Schinske?
Yes.
Tom Benedetti?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Moving right along, Executive Director's Report, Mr. Repay, what's going on in the field?
That wasn't that bad, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for the catch.
Progress.
thanks for the catch there. And So as I stated before, Park Ditch Stabilization has been in its final period here. The planting probably will begin in September when it's a little bit cooler, seeing that this next week is going to be in its 90s. All the residents seem to be happy. I know the town is happy. I'm happy with the way it came out. And then the next two phases are going to be a little bit different just because the slope in some of these backyards.
So you're happy with phase three, which is what's complete.
Yeah.
And that's phase not where
Maine to Franlin.
Maine to Franlin.
The next phase goes from Franlin north to a point close to Independence Park.
And then just for the public, the context here is Hart Ditch is one of two tributaries along with Deep River that feed into the Little Cow. The challenge with the Hart Ditch is that it's the most densely populated, you know, of both of these tributaries. The amount of work that needs to be done is significant now because of the banks of this portion of Hart Ditch are very high or elevated, and the volume of water that now comes through there has eroded it significantly to the point where it's starting to be a concern for some of the single family homes along this part of the waterway. We don't have ditches anymore, by the way.
In addition to those problems that you outlined, the fact is those that did the stabilization work prior to us did it only on one side. So what you would have is the water would hit across the hard side and go across the side that wasn't protected, which would erode the banks faster in a more non-symmetrical way. So we go down uniformly.
Work done before 2008, is that what you're talking about?
Well, before 2010.
Okay.
I think it's certainly before 2012 when we had funding to do so.
Right. And then also just as an aside, NIPSCO has all of their power poles running along this challenging segment. So houses, NIPSCO lines, and collapsing embankments. So it's going to be very interesting.
And beavers.
There's beavers in there too?
Yep. So anyways, so that's Hart Ditch Stabilization. They'll be doing some work, doing the permitting. And hopefully in spring of 2025, we'll begin the next phase. Just some brief updates on the 408, which is the permit required by the Army Corps of Engineer when you're dealing with the levee, sore subject some. I had a good discussion with the folks from the Army Corps this afternoon as a part of our O&M meeting, and there may have been some misunderstanding on the sandbar project. They had some folks that were on leave. There was possibly some maybe it was just some miscommunication on their end, but myself and Paul, who's here along with Garcia, met with them on site last Thursday. Believe we cleared up a lot of the misunderstanding, and they believe that in 30 days we could have approval on that. So I'm taking over, but 30 days is what they're saying. Second 408 update, borings in the levee. If you recall, you awarded a contract to BERT for as part of the LOMAR project to do borings in the levee to ensure that those, in fact, the levees are made of what they were supposed to be made of. And there's a policy now in the Army Corps of Engineers that require a licensed geologist and an engineer to be at every boring site, which makes it very, very costly. Our position was we have a vested interest in this levee functioning. We are not AT&T or Comcast that tend to bore through levees and they have to get from point A to point B. They're taking it under advisement, trying to work with headquarters to see if we can get past this policy. And if not, we will have to find an alternative administrative workaround to make that work so that we can get going on doing these borings, which are 87. But if we find something that's in sort of a not consistent, we will have to do more. So that becomes very costly when you have both of those individuals on site. In addition, also adding the gates. If you remember us talking about one by the visitor center, and then there's one by the gas station in Highland, the gates where You have to open it up and throw your sandbags down as a secondary closure. They're very close, and I know there's some folks possibly on this Zoom meeting that are interested in hearing this. They say they would have that 408 approved possibly within a week, so long as all the signatures can be obtained, but they have no objection, which will make those closures a whole lot better. Just for information, we were rejected for our Ready Two grant application, so we are looking at possibly redesigning or updating our design for Kennedy Avenue Bridge. Wolverine Pipeline, which, as we've discussed in the past, has several areas where they need to fix their pipelines. They have fixed one, believe it or not, earlier this week, just off of Burr. They're going to work off the one off of Clark starting Thursday, is what their schedule is set up for, and then they have a couple others. But they've been keeping us up to date. They're a little bit faster than what I wrote when I wrote the report initially. However, that's a good thing. And so they're going to keep going through there and trying to fix those areas so that we don't have any issues or possible explosions because they're natural gas lines. We are not allowing hunters on our property this year. Again, you have committed a lot of dollars and resources to upgrading some of these mitigation and creating new areas for birds and wildlife to be, and I think that would be a bad idea for people to go through those as we spend the money. In addition, the city of Gary is looking to approve an ordinance that does not allow the discharge of a firearm, and for us to give approval and then turn that back after, if they approve this ordinance, it would be a little bit of a logistical nightmare. We're going to talk about the WGOB agreement later on. We are complete with all of our core inspections for this year up until 2025. So from this point going to April, we're going to try to fix some of the smaller deficiencies that they have that they put out there. Let me see if I can. Yeah, I can share this.
Are some of those deficiencies just the rutting and burrowing animals, those types of things?
Yeah, there could be anything from rutting. It could be the host is disabled participant screen sharing. They could be rutting. They could be trees that have fallen down. They could be settlement spots along, for instance, in Munster and Hammond. I know in stage eight, that's a common problem where there's settlement along the sheep pile wall. Mostly in Gary, it's trees that have fallen in some of the more remote areas we got to get to, and then cut them up. We also have to, and you'll see later on, as a part of what you have to approve, is allowing for the opportunity to do the closed circuit TV, the cleaning out of all the culverts and things that are coming across the levee and through levee, including pump stations. That has to be done every 5 years, and I couldn't believe that it was 5 years, but it in fact is. So for next year, we are going to have, we have to do that. So that's why you guys must approve that so we can start that process. So I promised you pictures, and I still got some other stuff to do, but since I got myself technologically advanced now, these are the pictures that I'm working with. This is a picture of you looking to the north. That is the old railroad bridge. You can't necessarily see Liverpool, but Liverpool, if you can imagine in your mind, is about a half mile north of that picture. But you see what all the blockages that have occurred, at least on the last final two left side channels or passes.
That wall's not supposed to be there?
No, okay. No. No, we got better pictures of the wall, but this is a distant picture. I try to get a little zoom here. As you get closer, this is the opposite side of it, and you can see all the debris and old wood that is generated. Now, we anticipate, although it rained Saturday, it needs to rain a little bit more, we anticipate some of it. He was not able to get everything because it's UV fishing there forever. But we anticipate some of it to end up on the dam at Liverpool on 27th, but we have a group that can go out there and take it from there and catch it. This is a more close-up view of how thick that the woody vegetation. I mean, there was everything in there. There was car parts. There was pallets. There were just trees, tires. You'll see some tires later. And so this is the actual excavator leaving that site, heading north, we had a spot where we worked with Lake Station. They owned a piece of property that we offloaded very short a distance from that location, so we didn't have to travel too far and waste too much time, but and then you see, this is one of the final ones, and you can see in the background to the right, the tires that are built up, that was a whole nother opportunity to get all of the material out. So we tried to get as much as we could out, and now all the passes for the time being are open at that location, so.
Is this what you mentioned earlier, Dan, about the residents saying they hadn't seen anybody in the river cleaning it out in 20 years?
Yes, and that's been consistent from when we went past Riley, you know, Riley Road, 51, all the way when we go back up to Lake George by the old brickyard. They have, no one has seen anything. Now, some vegetation or woods or old is good. I mean, it's not bad, but this was actually making it to the point where it's impassable. And if you remember last year or last month, we actually cleaned out Ripley Street from a bunch of trees that have blocked that area. So it's a constant issue, but now we've gone one complete pass through, and now we can sort of watch it to see what some issues may pop up.
How about that? Maintenance is required.
At some point, didn't we discuss or somebody discussed removing that railroad bridge, that abandoned bridge?
That's what I was saying.
So Lee, who does it, said that is the most solid bridge that he's ever seen as far as putting with the limestone piers. Honestly, you could probably put something on top of it and it would be perfect. I think DNR has property nearby. Yeah,
we do.
See, so, it could be a trail for someone. But as far as that, the shape of that railroad track, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, but it goes nowhere. It's abandoned.
Yeah, it just goes.
So it's just a bridge.
But it's owned by the railroad.
Well, it's a catch for debris. Yes, it blocked one of the two primary tributaries into the river.
Well, now that we've established an access point that is nearby, we can keep an eye on it and just go get it. Before, and we talk about Hart's Ditch the same way, is access to these areas is difficult. So we try to find access. And thankfully, Lake Station had some spots. We know DNR had some spots, but we don't also want to impact negatively the environmental side of things. This was just an old lot that had overgrown with fragmites. I know it's surprising to you, but
if the bridge is removed, that removes a catch point.
It does. I'm going to tell you that's going to be an expensive proposition. But I think it's one of the taller bridges that I've seen as far as railroad crossing in this area. It's probably, I guess, 50, 70 feet up in the air.
I mean, is that going to be another one of the locations that makes the hit list every year as far as doing the drone flyby just to make sure stuff does? Or is that going to be one of the things that's every time we get an event that we have to go check it out?
I don't think every time, since it hadn't been cleaned since 2010 at least. And from the residents that live on that street just south or just north of there, they haven't seen that cleaned ever. And they've been there. I gotta think of it. The one gentleman, I think his name is John or Jim. He's been there 40 years. A nice car.
Copy that.
Yeah.
When you removed the debris, was there a significant drop in the level of the water?
Unfortunately, it's dry right now anyways. We couldn't tell very much, and the monitor, the gauge downstream didn't show any significant bump because we have a gauge that's at 27th in Liverpool, so nothing really impacted. I know a lot of the people that kayak and canoe, and they're excited about it, so. We already talked about Kmart's ditch, the PLCs that have been on back order. Now I have a new date of they shall be installed on September 9th. So it's just a little bit later than what they had told me the last meeting, but that's what we're going with. And then NIPSCO has hung the transformer by the natural spring. They're waiting for the green tag from the city of Gary, and once they get that, they'll be able to put the cabinet up and we will have power. So we have a transformer, we just need the city to go with it, and then we can put up our security cameras and then the lights will work. So that's been a process, but NIPSCO was working with us, and there was a change in the scheduler, and we found out who the new person is, and that's good. Really quickly on the environmental front or on our mitigation work, I got this report from Harry from the Wetland Initiative. They will be out spraying for Phragmites, Japanese knotwood, starting on this Monday. And then NIPSCO will also be spraying their right of way through Martin Luther King, through Georgia and Clark. The Highland Rookery, they'll be treating for Phragmites and a Marshmaster between Tuesday and Thursday of next week. And then the Grant Street area, which is between Grant and Chase, they'll also be doing Marshmaster work, but are still waiting for final permitting. So if you see the Marshmaster out, that's them doing their work. So
do we let the municipalities know when we're doing that kind of work? I know some of this is remote and it's probably not necessary, but
they get their permits.
They do the permits.
They get their permits. So that they, as part of that permit, they notify. Because we remember we got stopped on a controlled burn off of Chase Street because of an extra step that needed to be taken, and then it was just too late.
Who's issuing permits for us to do Marshmaster?
I don't think it's the Marshmaster so much as it is the spraying and or if you're burning, but they do all the notifications.
Is that each individual municipality or is that just the state? Who, if we're going through this process every year, is
can
having
a friend?
Huh?
Can I phone a friend?
Sure.
They're a phone a friend.
Yeah, so I think that the people that apply the herbicides are going to be licensed by the state of Indiana. So that would be individuals that apply herbicide have to have a license. In the past, there's been some use of helicopters in the city of Gary to apply that, and that's the helicopter pilot's responsibility. There probably aren't too many. So Highland Rookery, for example, that's at the top of Highland, and they probably aren't issuing any permits for this type of work. The city of Gary, however, may require permits. So,
and no more helicopters.
Yeah.
They're drones now, by the way, because they overshot with the helicopter.
So my suspicion, without knowing in great detail, is probably they don't need to have a permit from the city of Highland, may need one from the city of Gary. So that still would be requirements.
That's Brendan Scott Henry who does those for us.
And that's just because of the chemicals.
Correct.
Copy that. Thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Refe? What's going on in the field?
Hey, Dan, any updates on or just the ETA on the Lomar from Gary? Are we still on track?
Oh, well, the delay. See my friend Siavash on here, and I don't mean to call him out. But the delay with the boring permitting is delaying that. Now the Lomar is the city of Gary's to provide. We're only giving them information. As far as the drone flying over doing the survey work, I'm pretty sure that's complete and they're just downloading all that information because they've been flying all summer long. But the borings is something. It's something that myself, Siavash, and AJ are working on and have had colorful conversations with the Army Corps about with their policy and how we think it's misapplied. However, if they can't change it, then we may need to go a different route to have them reconsider that. And that's going to have to come from division or from headquarters.
Just the hits keep coming. You know, I have a question. You were talking about the raker at Katie March ditch. Is that done now completely?
Yep. Yes.
And we've released the retainage and everything.
And we have the as-bills.
Okay. Okay. Anything else for Mr. Repe?
I have one, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
Sourman Woods, is that nearly completed?
They're They're laying the infrastructure now for the piping of through to include the ponds that they've already built. The ponds were the first thing. Now they're laying all the infrastructure to get there. They had some right-of-way issues with the state as far as doing some of this infrastructure work, but it's progressing. As I go out there and I document by taking pictures, it's moving, but it's once they finish the ponds, it's sort of, it seemed like it's a lot slower now. And I think the reason is the right-of-way issue with, because that's right up to 231, so they have to get through there.
Do you anticipate being done this year?
I would say yes, just because you see more work being done, but I don't know. I mean, the next phase for them is certainly the recreation, which we have no control over or paying for. But as far as the infrastructure, it should be complete.
Is that it, Mr. Oji?
Yes.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay? What's going on in the field? Be there or not, moving right along. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to open bids on Gary, Hammond, and Island segments of the Little Calumet River Levee Maintenance Project and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder, pending review by the attorney, the engineer, and the staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
Well, no, we received three different companies bid on. Some bid on some and others bid on others and all of it. So we have Days Asphalt, Reith Riley, and Site Services.
Okay, so this is a motion for work on the segments. Is this paving? Is this, it doesn't say specifically what the activity is.
I think we included all three of them, which would be paving and or seal coating. And correct.
So this is for the asphalt on top of the earthen levees that we use for both recreation and for maintenance to get equipment in to take yeah. care of damage and do the things that we need to do. It's now time to update and upgrade the asphalt. Is correct. That true?
That is correct. It is not the paving part, which that's over, that's motion B.
Not paving. Okay. What am I going to talk about?
We can go to the next one.
Oh, this is going to make me awkward silence.
There's a motion to open. Is there a second?
Yeah.
And there's a second. Any discussion as Mr. Repay, you know, works through that?
I don't know. You can make me do this fast. You can move on to the other one, then I will report back, if you like, as to the outcome of these.
All right.
We so, have to open more anyway.
Yeah,
yeah,
great.
Go on there. Is there any discussion? I think we do have to make a have a vote. So there's a motion and a second for Repay to open that up with no letter opener. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Sarah Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Oji?
Yes.
Lamon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
I'd really like to say no. Yes. Okay, so as we wait for those bids to be opened, we're doing it in segments. Obviously, there's a lot of asphalt, and just like everything else, it needs to be maintained. So this is going to be seal coat and cracks, try to maintain that asphalt so we don't have to tear it up and replace it any sooner than necessary. He has to open up the bids for that too, so it's not going to help anyone.
You don't see.
Yeah, we can do that. So while you open this bids, we can go out and move to line item C.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with WGOB for the production of the historical documentary of the Little Calumet River flood of 2008 in the amount not to exceed $85,000 pending legal review.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Can you multitask, Dan?
Sure can. So the purpose behind this is, we've talked about this in the past, is, you know, believe it or not, in September, it will be soon, it will be 16 years since the floods impacted this area. And so with that, it's always been, and I won't speak for the chairman, but the chairman has always wanted this documented because eventually we're all going to go someplace else. And newspaper articles and those pictures are going to get old, but people have individual stories to tell, and those stories are important. And quite honestly, these folks did a great job with our closeout video, and I think they'll do a great job with this, and they have 1 year to prepare it. And so there'll be a lot of interviews, a lot of people asking for a lot of footage, and hopefully at the end, it's a good product that, you know, we're all said and done, people remember this.
So the work that was done for the closeout, and if you didn't get a chance to go, it was very, I guess cool would be the word, because it went into showing a lot of the pictures from when the flood happened, interviewed some of the folks that were on this prior to the flood. And because it had such an impact, and as Dan stated, the thought was always, as folks move on to a better place, to at least get their perceptions on how the community came together for this very sad event, which shouldn't have happened. But it did, and if we don't study our history, we're bound to repeat it. So that's the premise. We're hopeful that we're going to get interviews with a lot of the folks that were involved with taking the folks out of the Hammond Clinic, with helping with the folks that were stuck on the Borman Expressway, the houses that blew up, Tamarack Hall at IUN that was torn down because of the flood. There was a litany of things that will come out into this that hasn't made the public before that I think will be well worth the dollars to preserve that situation, for lack of a better term. There's a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Mrs. Lambert.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just a couple of quick ones for legal review. Hopefully it doesn't change anything. Maybe you already talked about it. And 2A, the closed captioning, I guess, is under our cost. I don't know if we have the capability to do that or if we should renegotiate that. Just a comment.
We have a motion and a second, Mr. Broadnick. Are you talking about the motion?
I guess under discussion.
Okay. For this motion for the documentary?
Correct.
Okay.
Sorry, 2A in the contract for the documentary.
2A in the contract. Okay. And what's the question? I'm sorry.
Underneath in the second line towards the left, closed captioning is included in our cost or excluded by the producer?
Closed captioning.
Just comments for legal review. Yeah, comments for legal review. And then the other comment is under 3, A and B seem to conflict. It says we have all retain all rights. Then it says the producer will be allowed to utilize the finished product as they see fit. That just seems like a conflict to my mind. So maybe just for legal review.
Mr. Wicklund, will you look at those two issues for Mr. Broadnick and provide us with some insight?
Yes.
So with Robert's rules, we have a motion and a second, and there's some questions about the contract. Is there anything that I have to do as it pertains to the public sector to make sure that we're all doing this based on all the boxes that need to be checked? Mr. Wicklund.
You're okay to approve resolution 2024-10.
So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Mr. Broadnecks?
I'm good.
Mr. Castellanos?
Yes.
All right. Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Tom
No.
Anthony Broadnecks.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker?
I'm a little confused. We made a motion for item D.
C.
Then why don't we just talk about 2024-10?
We didn't.
We didn't.
We didn't. We're talking about C. Documentary.
Okay, yes.
Wayne Baker.
Yes.
I'm good if you need me here.
Please. So we're back to A. We have a motion to open up the bids for the maintenance and the asphalt in Gary, Hammond, and Highland segments.
Right. So we had two bidders. One bidder only decided to do just Gary. So we'll read it backwards here. For the Highland, it would be under site services. This is all subject to legal review and engineering review. But what I saw was $83,485 for the Highland segment, which runs from Kennedy Avenue to Klein Avenue on the south side of the river.
$83,000?
Yeah, I'm sorry. $83,485.
And that was site services?
That's correct.
And that's the only bid they provided?
Correct. Well, yes, no one else provided a bid on that segment. Each segment was separated just in case you want to exclude any larger or smaller operations. The next segment that I have is the Hammond segment, which runs from Northcott to Indianapolis Boulevard. That's site services, $30,200. And then the Gary segment, which we separated into two segments, but it's Gary South. That's the Gary South segment. So from Martin Luther King all the way to Chase Street. These are the totals as I totaled them. You have site services at $149,240. And if I read Day's asphalt paving correctly, they're at $155,800.00. Once again, this is all subject to them reviewing it and making sure that I'm reading what the submittal was properly.
So wait, are you done?
I'm done.
Okay.
Say, Reed Bradley submitted a bid?
Yeah. Reeve Riley submitted a bid only for the parking lots, not for seal coating. So the motion was only for seal coating, but we, the way the packets came in, I noticed them at the very last second that they only did parking lots.
Was there
and site services also did parking lots.
Was there a Gary North?
We did not do Gary North. Quite honestly, we didn't know what the numbers were going to look like with asphalt prices and everything else, and I wouldn't want to bid something out that we couldn't afford. So we just did south of the older parts of the levee. We really did a lot of work on the north levee. So the north side is really newer as far as segment is concerned, as far as paving.
Do you have an engineer's estimate?
I do here someplace. I can provide that to you. You may look for it right now, or would you like to?
I'd like to have that.
Well, I could get it to you, but would you need it now before you make your approval or what?
Are you making a
I'm just asking.
Are we under budget? Are we over budget? I don't know.
For the Hammond Trail, $75,000 to $125,000. So that would be under.
Okay.
Island Trail, $150,000 to $200,000.
Okay.
Gary Trail would be anywhere from $255,000 to $305,000.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we checked off the motion to open up the bids. We're not awarding it now. We're moving right along.
There's another one.
That's part of the motion of the award.
Pending review by attorney, engineer, and staff.
So assuming that everything checks out by attorney, engineer, and staff.
and award each segment to the lowest responsive bidder pending review by attorney and staff.
Did we open both sets already?
No. Well, for A, we have.
Okay.
All right, so next up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and open bids for the Hobart parking lot asphalt paving project and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder pending review by the attorney, engineer, and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question for Mr. Wicklund. Mr. Wicklund, I work for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, Division of Nature Preserves. As part of my job responsibilities, I manage the Hobart Marsh mitigation, which was a requirement by the Army Corps of Engineers of this commission. Is it true that I should recuse myself from this motion and second?
Yes, that would be appropriate.
Thank you.
Lambert notes the fact that Timmons is recused from this due to his full-time job.
Thank you.
How many do you have there, Mr. Repay?
I have two.
Two.
And just we'll do it live. We're gonna just do this live. Parking lot paving engineer's estimate 130 to 180.
We need to make a motion.
I thought you already made a motion. Yeah.
Motion and second.
Second.
Mrs. Lambert.
Sorry, did you mean?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Andy Brodnick.
Yes.
Sarah Minnick.
Recused.
Dave Papillon.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
What was the engineer's estimate number again, Dan?
130 to 180.
Thank you.
So the first one, site services, 88,670. The second one, which is from Reith Riley, is 123,550. So once again, they're subject to review by the engineer. Make sure that they met all qualifications. There was one addendum to it, and so hopefully both parties got it, which I think we sent them both parties to the addendum. So that will be up to.
All right, we check all the boxes on that one. Yes, I think we did. All right, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2024-10 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Merrillville for the Storm Sewer Network Improvement Plan Watershed Project in an amount not to exceed $239,747. Subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and chairman.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
So they asked for, they did a presentation last meeting so that they could vacate an existing pump station and run a sewer directly behind gravity. This would, in their minds, prevent them from having to deal with the regular maintenance and operation of the pump station. This impacts a small number of houses, and they are currently under construction.
So we talked about this project a couple of times, and its impact on the homeowners and the number of homeowners in the roadways. Was it minimal? Help me, as they're all blending together anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I remember them showing some pictures of a few houses directly impacted. I believe there were some questions as to when the last time this occurred. I believe, if I remember correctly, it was plus 7 years ago that the last time this event of this magnitude. Their biggest focal point was getting rid of the pump station that they had to maintain and then turning it to gravity. So they saw that as a win for their maintenance side of things and upkeep of different pumps.
So this is basically taking out a piece of equipment that's past its time, for lack of a better description, and they're going to replace it with a gravity system to the point where there's going to be no flooding there and minimal amount of maintenance from the standpoint of the city.
That's their issue. And if you remember, they went through, I think, two engineering firms prior to this, and then they went through this engineering firm that felt that they found this way.
And this ask is only for 50% of the project of construction.
That's correct.
Any other questions for Mr. Ripay on this one? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Abstain.
Anthony Rodnick.
No.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ogie.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2024-11 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Dyer for the Hart Ditch floodplain storage at Briar Ridge Watershed Project in an amount not to exceed $100,000 even, subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and chairman.
There's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Discussion, Mr. Ripay.
This storage or floodplain storage these requests are a small part of a much larger plan by the town of Dyer, where they've identified areas where they feel as though they can improve or create storage. And these two first applications are areas where both the property owner and the town have agreed that this is the right way to go. With respect to the Briar Ridge one, the board asked to go a little bit further to the north from Shannon Bridge to Main Street, which would complete the regulated drain portion of this ditch. And they applied. They gave us a number. We increased our amount from, I believe it was 86,000 to now 100,000 because it was our ask to do the extension. So all other things are the same. It was a 50-50. We bumped our percentage up, I believe, to 55%. And that's about.
And it's just for the engineering, right?
Just for the engineering. No work being done. Just engineering to confirm the amount of acre feet that they can store.
Any questions for Mr. Ripay on this one?
This will include the design work for the actual construction as well, right?
That's correct.
Anyone else? We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Pat Bezdecky.
Yes.
Anthony Bronick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ogie.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2024-12 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Dyer for the Hart Ditch floodplain storage at US Route 30 in an amount not to exceed $59,650, subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and chairman.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Ripay.
Same description as before. This is just the property owner, which is the CVS, was identified. They were amenable to this idea, and so that's why this was chosen by the town of Dyer.
So this is also an engineering project. Any other questions for Mr. Ripay on this one? Either not.
I do have a question.
Okay, Mr. Gostek.
Do you recall the approximate benefit as far as acre feet? I'll have to
look, but I could. It was. I think there was either both of these were like 7, 8. I thought acre feet. This is a much smaller parcel, just a commercial parcel. Whereas the Briar Ridge one was the extent from. Was that
213.7? So yeah. This has got to be minimal.
But this, as I said in the opening, this is a larger plan for the town of Dyer. They've identified that they would like to do this since the one by the Plum Creek was so successful by their town hall that they would like to do this throughout. And they're first working through people and and landowners that are willing.
Just engineering, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Just for clarification, so would that expand the amount of acre feet if this is just like one of the segments that they're coming to us for, or they're additional?
These are the two that they're doing right now because they have funding and they're asking for our funding to match their funding. I think ultimately as they proceed, if this goes through and well, they'll find other landowners that are wanting to do this. I don't know that for sure, but that's certainly up to them to make the pitch to the landowner.
Was there an extreme benefit to this one, or is it just because it's low-hanging fruit?
I think it's the landowners that are working with them. So, for instance, Ron Hunter, not to throw names, but Ron Hunter is an engineer, been an engineer for a long time, has been in water storage. This is one of the ideas he brought it to the attention of the folks at the Property Owners Association. That's where it sort of went down that path.
Well, you're talking about the other one.
But CBS is very similar, where I think they, if I remember the presentation, they had to make up for compensatory storage. In effect, a way to do that storage was they built a two-stage ditch, which would then accomplish what they needed to do, as opposed to putting a drainage ditch that ultimately no one will pay attention to and become useless. So this is their way of storing water in their property.
And you get another bite at the apple when they come back for the construction component.
I will guarantee you they'll come back for construction. Can't guarantee you, but pretty sure.
They always do. Anything else?
Just for clarity, it's 1.5 acre feet.
There you go. Thank you.
1 foot?
1.5.
For CBS.
For CBS.
Okay. Anyway, I have a question.
Okay.
And this is on the north side of the bridge of Route 30, correct?
Correct.
To kind of
the northwest corner, to be sort of exact.
Nearby the project we assisted with by their town hall.
Correct.
Kind of, and this is their idea to keep moving forward, moving north.
They have a bigger report that identifies certain areas, and this is just a part of that.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Going once, going twice. We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
No.
Anthony Broadnick?
Yes.
Derek Higgins?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos? Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ogie?
Yes.
Levon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Castellanos, are you there? What does Robert say about this rule?
Robert just doesn't consider he's absent. Because he didn't vote, or he didn't say yes or no, so he's absent.
Okay. Moving right along, gentlemen.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve a joint funding agreement with the United States Geological Survey for the operation and maintenance of multiple stream gauges throughout the watershed during the period of October 1st, 2024 to September 30th, 2025. The combined agreement amount is $135,665, with the Little Kemet River Basin Development Commission contributing $120,100 and the United States Geological Survey contributing $15,365 pending legal review.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, these are our gauges.
These gauges are very important to what we do and how we try to manage an emergency situation. So there's 16 of them. They range from Crete to Thornton to Maribel, Dyer. We've got several in Gary. And quite honestly, it's critical for us to have these. We added quite a few of them about 5 or 6 years ago. So it's something we definitely enjoy and need.
So are we having, is this includes maintenance if these things break or?
They go out there routinely, maintain them, recalibrate them. During large rain events, you'll see them actually calibrate them because they want to know real time. And, you know, sometimes in the winter, you'll see them stuck where there's ice. But we know that sometimes occurs, but for the most part, it's something that you can manage. I can manage from right here to see if there's issues. And so to Commissioner Wyszynski's point, when he asked about was that blockage, did that blockage cause any adverse effects? And we could see right down the way that there were no really bumps or spikes. And another point, we can tell if the Beaver has been reacclimated between Grant Street and Chase Street, where we see the raise in Burr Street, and the Grant Street is still going down. So you just sort of become used to looking at these.
And this is data that's on the website, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Anything else for Mr. Repay on this one? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Bob Flutie.
Yes.
Tom Bezzetti.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Oji?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise for bids on the CCTV and sonar inspection of pipes penetrating the levee within the Geary North, Geary South, Geary Burr, and Forest Avenue segments of the system.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Required by the Army Corps of Engineers, very helpful to us. If you remember, 5 years ago, we found someone had dumped some sort of molten material or concrete or asphalt in one of our culverts. And when they went through, they videotaped it and they had to actually chop it out. So that definitely provides a negative impact as the way this system is supposed to work, but every 5 years we have to do it. This segment is Geary North, Geary South, First Street, and then the odd one is Forest Avenue. And the importance of that is Geary is going through a formal inspection, which is a more thorough inspection next year in the core standards, which is a more, they bring more people out to look at things a lot closer. But that's what they do.
People look at it closer.
Well, we only had 12 at Griffith, so it's okay. We're good.
All right. So, any questions for Mr. Repay on this one? Once, twice. Mrs. Lambert, got a motion and a second.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Oji.
Yes.
Yes. William Baker.
Yes. Standing. Moving right along. Next up is statements to the board from the floor, my favorite part. If you'd like to help us make sure something like that on the board doesn't happen again, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record. Once, twice. Bring it back to the board. We'll stay on with the commissioners. And so I don't forget, Mr. Broadnecks, you are up first.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the commissioners for their ongoing robust review and keeping everybody honest with paying the bills and making motions.
Thank you, Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. First of all, it was an excellent meeting. I'd like to thank, first of all, I'd like to give a good shout out to Congressman Merv Ann for appearing on our show. He's been credited for giving a lot of money for Northwest Indiana, for the levees, as well as for the communities. But also I have one request. I'm hoping that that maybe Dan, as we start moving forward on these contracts for these municipalities, that they, if we can get some kind of report from them regards to if they're using any, if they're reaching out or utilizing or working with any minority-owned companies. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oji.
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Mr. Nimitz.
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Mr. Gazdecki.
Thank the public for coming out and listening to what we do.
Mr. Wyszynski.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker.
Just echoing the commissioner's comments on participation from the public and wanting to know as well the interest regarding other municipalities and minority participation. I think that would be very helpful and hopefully help us improve as a commission and board as well with our charge that we make in the last state as well. Other than that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ware.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Wicklin.
Nothing to add.
Is this the time, Mrs. Lambert?
Nothing to add.
Okay. The next meeting is going to be Wednesday, September 18th. Please check the website for what's happening. And we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I got in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Happy summer.